Hey everyone, welcome to Northwoods. My name is Jason and I'm the pastor for Northwoods Online, and we are so glad to have you join us for this weekend's service. You know, we're about ready to get things kicked off here at the Peoria campus. We'd love for you to join us in the chat, say hello. Pat's hanging out there today hosting the service, so let him know where you're tuning in from and maybe meet somebody new during the service today. You know, we've got communion coming up a little bit later in the service. It's early in the service today, so be ready for that. If you're a believer in Jesus and you want to participate in communion, then grab your bread and your juice and be ready to follow along as Pastor John leads us in communion during today's service. Well, I cannot believe that we are in December already. Christmas is right around the corner. That means Christmas services are coming up real quick. And if you haven't gotten your tickets yet for the Christmas shows, I want you to start planning to make your trip here to Peoria to join us for the Christmas services. You can get those tickets at Northwoods.Christmas. And once you do that, make sure you let me know which service you're coming to. I'd love to meet up with you and get to know you. Well, last week, Pastor Cal started our series about the holiday blues. If you didn't catch that, check it out in the archives. You can do that at media.northwoods.church. And then today, Nathan is teaching about the fog of our spiritual fog. We've been driving around in the fog here in Peoria the last couple of days, so we know how that is. But he's going to help us with that spiritual fog and getting through that spiritual journey. And Amy and the team are about ready to get things started, so turn up those speakers, sing out loud, because Northwoods Online starts right now.
Good morning, church. It's great to see you here today. Why don't you stand at your feet? It's December. We love to start off with a few Christmas carols this time of year. So would you join us and sing?
to the world, the Lord has come. Joy 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 to the world, the Lord has come. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glory of his righteousness, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wondrous wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wonders of his love, and wondrous wonders of his love.
Go ahead and take your seat. And as we're doing so, I would like to invite the ushers to come forward. We're about to enter into a moment of corporate communion. And so before we get there, we'd like to share a scripture with you. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him. And by his wounds, we are healed." And so in a couple of minutes, Pastor John will be coming up here and he will be leading us in this time of communion. And so as the ushers continue to distribute the elements, we'd like to encourage every single one of you right there where you're at. Just open up your heart and just begin to thank the Lord for all that he's done. Let's just thank him for his goodness, for his faithfulness, for his love, for his mercy.
Take the bread of life, broken for all my sin. Your body crucified to make me whole again. I will recall the cup poured out in sacrifice. Trade this sinner's end for your new covenant. Hallelujah. I'll live my life in your remembrance. Hallelujah. Your promise I'll salvation's road with fear and trembling. Your way born as my own, as Christ is formed in me. Hallelujah. I'll live my
Jesus, who started the tradition of communion. He instructed his followers to remember the sacrifice he made through the bread and through the cup. And when we read in God's word, we find that the early church took communion on a regular basis. Some even took communion daily. But when I go back and read that, I find that they took communion not out of a sense of obligation, but out of a place of celebration. They would remember what Jesus Christ had done on the cross, and they would celebrate all that it meant for their lives. And so in the same manner, we today, through communion, we remember what Christ did on the cross for us, and we celebrate the fact that he was broken so that we might be fixed and be made whole. The bread represents Christ's body that was broken for us. And it was Jesus who said, "I am the bread of life." I want you to think about that. Think about just bread and what it does for us just in a physical sense. Bread can satisfy our hunger. Bread can sustain us. And in the same way that bread does these things for us physically, Jesus does the same thing for us in a spiritual sense. See, it is Jesus, him and him alone, who can satisfy the human soul. It is Jesus who can satisfy the longing of every human heart for love and acceptance. It's Jesus who sustains us day by day as we walk with him. The Bible says, the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's partake together. The cup represents the blood of Christ that was poured out at the cross for you and for me. And through the shedding of Christ's blood, you and I can receive forgiveness. That means the penalty of our sin is taken care of. But not only do we receive forgiveness through the blood also sets us free. That means we can be set free from the power of sin in our lives. You know that the blood of Jesus Christ sets you free from the power of sin in your life, the sin that so easily entangles. Jesus Christ came to set you free, not just from the penalty of your sin, but from the power of sin in your life. The Bible says, in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's partake.
Just begin to thank the Lord right there where you're at. Just begin to say, "Lord, we thank you, Jesus. God, we thank you." Come on, lift up your worship. Lift up your heart. Lift up your hands in an act of surrender for all that he's done. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. Yeah. Jesus, we thank you. Come on, just say it. Oh Lord, we thank you for the cross. Oh God, we thank you for the cross. Jesus, we thank you. Oh yeah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. Yes, we thank you, Jesus. Oh, oh, we praise your name. Jesus, we lift your name on high. Oh, yes. Come on, church. Why don't you stand to your feet as we worship? We sing, "You've been so, so good." Come on.
You've been so, so good to me.
Whatever comes, I won't complain, for all my hope is in your name, and now your joy awaits my praise. Let's sing, "I give thanks."
I give thanks for all you have done, and I will sing of your mercy and your
together.
And as we lift our hands, the heavens open, heavens open. So let our lives declare the love our God has spoken over us. And as we lift our hands, the heavens open, heavens open. So let our lives declare the love our God has spoken over us.
Anybody grateful in this place? Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's sing it again.
We are grateful in this place. We're grateful for who you are. We're grateful for what you've done in our lives and all that you continue to do in our lives. And Lord, as we head into this Christmas season, the Bible tells us that the birth of Jesus was cause for great joy. And so, Lord, I just pray that no matter what each of us might be walking through in this Christmas season, Lord, I pray that we would all experience the joy that you came to bring. Pray your joy over your people. I pray that the joy of the Lord would be our strength this Christmas season. And so we thank you for what you're going to do. We're grateful for everything you've done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, you can go ahead and grab a seat. Great to have you with us at Northwoods this weekend. My name is John, and at this time, I'm going to invite the ushers forward to begin receiving today's offering. And want to remind you, if you practice end of year giving, that your gifts must be received or postmarked by December 31st if they're going to be credited to the 2018 calendar year. As always, our online giving tools will be available for your convenience 24/7. Now, if you have any questions about how to give stocks or assets or anything along those lines, you can always reach out to our finance office. They would love to help you. Just make sure you do that by December 21st, because after that date, the finance offices will be closed for the holiday season. Well, I want to invite all of you back next weekend as we continue in our series, Beating the Holiday Blues. Our senior pastor, Cal Rickner, will be back with us, and he will be talking about beating the blues of emotional fractures and answering the question, how do we process sadness and some of the losses we experience in light of the joy that Christmas brings. So, going to be a good one. Hope to have you back with us next weekend. Well, we are 2 weeks away from our Christmas production here at Northwoods, and I was out in the lobby. Yeah, you can clap for that. It's going to be awesome. I'm excited for it. I was out in the lobby, and this morning there were four services already sold out. There might even be more than that at this point, so make sure you're getting your free tickets to the Christmas production. The production this year is going to be called This Moment in Time, and as always, it is going to be an incredible production. Now, a couple of things we wanted to let you know on the front side of the production before it gets here. We really want to encourage all of you to download the Northwoods app before you come to the production. Now, why are we asking you to do that? I can't tell you the specifics of that, but I can tell you the Northwoods app will be used in a really cool way during the production, and we want to make sure you're a part of that moment. So again, make sure you download that before you get here. Don't be rolling up in here the night of the production, forgetting about it. There's like 3,000 people in here. I don't want to hear any complaints about the bandwidth being bad or it won't download.
Make sure you download it before the production gets here. So again, you can get that on the App Store. Just search for Northwoods Church. That's for iPhone users. Is there anything else out there? Does anybody even use Android even anymore? I don't even know if that's a thing. anyways, yeah, so I think if you use Android, it's like Google Play or something like that. I don't even know what it is. But you can get that app on Android too. Again, just search Northwoods Church. So make sure you download the app before the Christmas production. If you have friends coming, make sure you let them know. We would love for them to be a part of that moment at the Christmas production this year. So this moment in time is going to be an incredible production 2 weeks away. So again, thanks so much for being here this weekend. Want to direct your attention to the side screens. Northwoods, how are you doing? Are you good? Well, my name is Nathan. I'm honored to be here with you today. And wherever you're joining us from today, any campus, from anywhere, we're glad that you join us as well this weekend. We are continuing in our series called Beating the Holiday Blues. And today, we're going to look at beating the spiritual fog. But before we do, let's just pray and again invite the Lord here together. So Holy Spirit, we just say, come. Come, Lord, make your presence known among us. Lord, we open up our hearts to you right now to hear what you want to say to us today, what you want to do in our lives today. Come have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name, everyone said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, there's no question that the Christmas season is a time of unparalleled joy and happiness for many people. And I'd be lying to you if I didn't tell you that I'm really looking forward to some time off, some time with family, some great food. The Rickner side of the family knows how to cook, I'll tell you that. But I'm also looking forward to Christmas presents. I know some of those things coming. So I'm really excited for the Christmas season. But with this series, we want to acknowledge that that's not the case for everyone. Not everyone is rejoicing and excited when the Christmas season comes around. For some of us, we feel the holiday blues. Some of us today, we're walking through difficult situations, painful circumstances. For others, the joy of people around them only sharpens their own sense of sadness. That's a reality for many of us here today. And in fact, before we go on, it's a reality for our family there at the Canton campus. And so before going on, I just want to say, I know there's a group of you that showed up at Canton to just show your support and your love to the Coulter family. And again, I want to just say thank you so much for showing up. I wish I could see all of you, all the people that came, but thank you for showing your love and your support to that family and to the Coulter family specifically, to Wendy, Mackenzie, McCabe, Clay. We want you to know, on behalf of my dad, on behalf of your entire Northwoods family at every campus, we are standing with you. You are not alone in what you're going through. You will have our love and our prayers no matter what. And just on a personal note to the Coulter family, it was just a few days ago that I talked with my dad, and he told me he had the privilege of praying with you guys. And he told me about your resolve to not ask questions that you didn't have the answers to, but that you were going to focus on what you do know. You're going to focus in on the truth. Your faith is an encouragement and an inspiration to all of us. We love you guys. We're praying for you. Come on, give it up for them one more time. We love you guys. We love you guys. So keep praying for the Coulter family, the entire Canton campus. Just cover them with your prayers. As I said earlier, today we're looking at a particular source of holiday blues called spiritual fog. Now, raise your hand if you've driven in fog before. You know what fog's like? All right, most of us. You know what it's like to be in the fog with limited visibility. I've been in the fog before where I can barely see a few feet in front of my car. It just blocks your vision. You don't know where you are or where you're going. There's a spiritual fog that is just as normal to the seasons of life as the physical fog in the seasons of weather. Just as normal in the seasons of life. And some of us today are in the spiritual fog. And it just comes with the territory of life, like it comes with the territory of weather. So you may be here today and you're saying, I'm not really in the fog, I'm good. Well, you will be one day. You'll have to face the fog because it's a normal part of life, just like it's a normal part of the weather. So we all need to know how to navigate the spiritual fog. Now, someone might ask, well, okay, what exactly do you mean by spiritual fog, though? How would you define it? Well, let me answer your question with a question. How do you respond when you feel like God has let you down? How do you continue to obey God when it seems that His way makes no sense? How do you respond when you were praying for that breakthrough, you were praying for that answer, and it didn't come? How do you trust in the love and the goodness of God in the face of the fires that recently destroyed part of California? How do we respond when we lose loved ones? What is our response when we don't understand what God is doing? We can't seem to see Him, why these things are happening, if He's listening at all, or if He even cares. That is the spiritual fog. When we walk through things that we don't understand and we don't have answers for, when we're in the testing, in the difficulty, and in the trial, that is the spiritual fog. And just like we today battle spiritual fog, most of us don't realize that there were people all over Scripture that battled spiritual fog as well. In fact, on that very first Christmas, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she battled some of her own fog. We never talk about it, though. So let me paint the picture for you real quick. We know that Mary and Joseph, they're pledged to be married. And when we hear that, we automatically think, okay, they're engaged. No, they're betrothed. And back in that day, a Jewish betrothal was way different than a 21st century engagement. A betrothal on that day was way more binding than an engagement. It might last a year, but it would include oaths to each other. It would include presents and feasts. In fact, the betrothed couple, even though the marriage ceremony hadn't taken place, they were already known as husband and wife. And that betrothal could only be broken by death or divorce. That's how binding it was. The only difference was that they did not consummate the marriage until the marriage ceremony. But with that in mind, can you imagine what it looks like to the watching world when they see Mary, likely a teenager at the time, pregnant when she is betrothed to Joseph? I mean, we can hardly understand the social implications. That would raise questions in a lot of people's minds. In fact, Mary would have to battle the social stigma from her friends and family, the misunderstanding, for the rest of her life. And again, we don't talk about this often, but that event actually raised questions in Joseph's mind. Often we read the Christmas story out of Luke 2, but we get some of Joseph's perspective in Matthew. Look at what it says. Matthew 1, it says, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, before they consummated the marriage, before they lived together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, because Joseph, her husband, notice, he's referred to as her husband, even though they're not married yet. Because he was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. I mean, do you think that Mary questioned what God was doing when, after saying yes to his assignment for her, her family is ready to disown her and the man she loves is ready to divorce her? You think she wondered, God, what are you doing and why are you doing it this way and why me and what's going to happen? There's no doubt that when Mary says yes to this assignment, she knows she's saying yes to some difficult things. She knows there's going to be some misunderstanding with her friends and family. She knows there might be some misunderstanding with Joseph. She knows she's saying yes to difficult things. But when we look at Mary's life as a whole, her yes to this one assignment actually brought her through more fog than she could have ever initially realized. So think about it. We already said it's going to be hard for her when the man she loves tries to divorce her. It's going to be hard for her when her family and friends don't understand. She's got to face the shame and the social stigma from all the people in her community. On top of that, Mary's baby boy is supposed to be the King of Kings, and he is born in a feeding trough in absolute obscurity and poverty. Now, how does that make sense? Add on top of that, this young family, soon after Jesus is born, they have to pick up all their things and flee to Egypt in order to keep Herod from killing their baby boy. And then it's going to be the most pain a mother could ever feel one day when Simeon's prophecy comes true and a sword pierces her own soul as she watches her son bleed to death in front of her when he is completely innocent. Mary battled some fog. She went through some things that were difficult and that she didn't have answers for. And yet, when the angel Gabriel showed up, look what her response was to this assignment. She said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. God, it's going to be difficult, and I don't understand all that you're doing and why you're doing it this way, but your will be done. I'm your servant, Lord. She stayed faithful through the fog. And again, we see this all over Scripture. All over. I mean, think about Abraham. How could Abraham understand when God tells him to go sacrifice his only son? What is Jeremiah supposed to think when he's going to spend his life speaking to people who will only reject his message? Or think about Daniel when, for his faithfulness to God, he is thrown in a lion's den. How could Hosea understand when God tells him to go marry a prostitute and stay faithful to her, even though she isn't faithful to him? What about Paul? Whipped, beaten, tortured, imprisoned, all for declaring the gospel. And then Jesus, who dies, bleeds, gives his life, even for those that would ultimately reject him and his gift of life. So we aren't alone in facing the spiritual fog. Each one of these not only faced the fog, but they beat the fog. Each one of these maintained faith in God despite the difficulty and despite what they did not understand. And we today can walk through the fog with the same kind of faithfulness. It is our portion as children of God to beat the fog instead of getting taken out by it. It is our portion to have a faith that does not fail even when things come against us. That's our portion. I'm not going to pretend that I have all the answers to the fog. Why the fog comes. Why that circumstance or that situation is happening in your life. I don't have the answers. And there's some answers that we're only going to get in eternity. but we can be faithful through the fog. We can beat it instead of letting it beat us. So, how do we respond when we face the fog? What do we do? Well, I don't know about you, but when I'm in the fog, it usually helps a little bit. Turn on some fog lights, right? Clears it up a little bit. It doesn't clear away all the fog, but it gives me just enough to see, to stay on the road, to go through the fog. And there's some figurative fog lights in our lives that we can turn on today that can help us stay on the road and be faithful even in the fog. So, fog light number one. We got to turn this on in our lives. We have to stay in prayer. There's nothing else that will make the fog thicker than when we stop talking with our Father. We can't let the fog keep us from conversation with the Lord. I mean, that's all prayer really is, just talking with Him, two-way conversation. I don't know if you're like me at all, but usually when the fog comes, I usually run from Him instead of run to Him. That's my first reaction. It needs to be our first reaction to run to Him in prayer. We find David doing this in Psalm 109. He says, "O God, whom I praise, do not remain silent." Has God ever seemed like He's silent in your life? David says, "Do not remain silent, for wicked and deceitful men have opened their mouths against me. They've spoken against me with lying tongues. With words of hatred, they surround me. They attack me without cause. And in return for my friendship, they accuse me." David was in the fog, but look what he says. He says, "But I'm a man of prayer." David resolved, even despite of what was going on around him, he resolved to let his situation drive him to God. Even though this is happening, "Lord, I'm taking all my troubles to you in prayer. I'm turning to you, Father. I'm turning to you." It's like when a father takes his child to learn how to ride a bike for the first time. First time, he's not going to stay up the whole time, right? They go out together and the kid falls down, maybe skins his knee. What's the first thing he does? "Dad!" I mean, what else can he do? His immediate response is to call out to his father. We need the same kind of childlike dependence in our lives when we are facing painful circumstances, difficult situations, that our first response is to cry out, "Father!" We turn to Him as our first response. It's in the humble dependency of prayer that we find our strength. It's in turning to Him. Now, prayer seems like foolishness to the world. The world would tell us we're just kind of praying into the air. But the Word says that God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. God is a real source of help in our time of need. He's a real source of strength. We're not just casting words into the air when we pray. We are turning to a real source of infinite help and strength when we come to our Father in prayer. That's why the psalmist is so confident in Psalm 55, when he says this, "But I call to God, and the Lord saves me. Evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and He hears my voice." He hears me, and He ransoms me unharmed from the battle waged against me, even though many oppose me. And then the psalmist says this in verse 22, "Cast your cares on the Lord, and He will sustain you. He will never let the righteous fall." Cast your cares on the Lord in prayer. Bring everything to Him in prayer. We've got to resolve to turn to him immediately when we're facing the fog. And when we do, we will find a strength, we will find a peace, we will find a hope and a joy that no one and nothing else can give us if we will turn to our Father. He will guide us through the fog. Now, fog light number two. Stay in relationship. You know, it's true that we are never alone because our Father has promised to never leave us nor forsake us. That's true. But it's also true that part of the way our Father shows us he is with us is through the presence of other people. Is through relationship. We already know about the fog that Mary encountered that first Christmas. And look what she does. As soon as the angel Gabriel leaves, says at that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now remember, in Luke 1, the angel Gabriel, same angel that comes to Mary, showed up to Zechariah. And even though Zechariah and Elizabeth weren't in the prime childbearing age, the angel says, the power of the Holy Spirit is going to come on you. You're going to be pregnant. You're going to give birth to John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. And I find it extremely significant that Mary not only reached out to others, but that she reached out to others who would understand some of the fog she was going through. You think Elizabeth and Zechariah would believe that an angel came to Mary and said, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you're going to be pregnant? I think they'd understand that because they've been through that themselves. If you're going through some fog today, reach out to others. Reach out. Also recognize if you're not in the fog today, there are others around you who are, and they need you to reach out to them with your encouragement, your love, and your support, and your prayers. And like Mary, I'm willing to bet that some of you who are in the fog today, there's people around you in the church, in the body, who have walked through the very same fog that you're going through right now. They can be a tremendous source of encouragement to you. The fog that you once walked through, God wants to use that to encourage someone else who's in that fog right now. My dad experienced the power of this one day when years ago, he and my mom, they lost my brother Christopher. Many of you know the story. He only lived about 10 hours. And it was in the midst of that fog and that disappointment with God that he received a letter from his hometown, a man named Bruce Rupp. And my dad had no idea that Bruce had also lost a child. And as he read that letter, Bruce, without even knowing, as my dad read that letter, Bruce was expressing every single thing that my dad was feeling and experiencing right there in that moment. And just a few days ago, as my dad told me the story again, he still got tears in his eyes. He remembered the hope and the comfort and the encouragement that letter brought him because Bruce had been through the same exact thing. He knew what that fog was like. This is how the church was meant to operate. This is why we have small groups. This is why we have four steps happening every single weekend. If you're not connected, you don't have those kind of relationships in your life, go through the four steps. Join a small group. Don't just sit in the back row and come in and come out and never connect with people, because a day is going to come where you're going to face some spiritual fog and you're going to need some people around you to help hold you up and help keep you strong and pour encouragement into your heart. Again, that's why the word says this in Ecclesiastes, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up. Church, we need each other. We need each other. We must stay in relationship. So who are those people in your world when you face the fog? Who are those people you can turn to? Maybe you need to ask God to bring some of those people in your life. If you're going through the fog today, Do not leave here without reaching out to someone. Don't leave here without coming down front and getting prayer from our prayer teams. You don't got to tell us what kind of fog you're going through if you don't want to. Just come to us. We'd love to just pray for you and pour the love of God and the grace of God into your life and into your situation. Maybe you know someone who's going through fog. Don't let today end without reaching out to them and saying, hey, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, I'm here for you. Encouraging them. I'm with you. I'm standing with you. I love you. Praying for them. We've got to stay in relationship to help us beat the fog. Fog light number three. This one's vital. Stay unoffendable. When the fog comes, it's always a temptation for us to get offended at God. Always. And God does have a sense of humor, because I'm actually going through some fog in my own life right now. And here I am, and we're having to talk about spiritual fog. In fact, I feel like my 20s has been mostly fog. If there's other 20-year-olds out there, you might understand. It gets pretty foggy in that early stage of life. But I remember just recently that I had some time with the Lord in the morning, and he actually reminded me of this fog light right here. And he said it so kindly. He said, Nathan, you're offended at me. You're offended at the way I'm doing things in your life. You're frustrated with my timing. You are frustrated with how I'm choosing to work things out in your life. What do you say to that? I mean, I can't deny that, because he's going to know I'm lying, right? So I just had to honestly say, yeah, Lord, you're right. You're right, Lord. I have been offended at you. I've been frustrated at the way you've worked things out in my life. I'm frustrated that things have never gone according to my plan. Lord, I'm sorry. God, forgive me. Right there in my chair, in my apartment, I had to repent and ask the Lord to forgive me of my offense towards him. And some of us here today in the fog, we're mad at God. We're offended at how things have played out in our lives. We're mad at why that prayer didn't get answered, or why he seems so silent, or why that breakthrough came for that person, but it didn't come for us. And I think that's a totally normal response. And I think that the Lord understands that response. If you are here today and you're feeling that, or you'd say, yeah, I think that's me, the Lord doesn't condemn you for that. He doesn't condemn you. He just says, bring that to me. Just bring that to me. Tell me all about it. Tell me what's going on in your heart. And then he asks us to just trust him, to renew our trust in him again, and to repent of our bitterness and our offense. When we're in the fog, the devil will always try to get us to question the goodness of God. Always. He'll try to erode our trust in who he is and who our Father is, his intentions toward us, his heart toward us. Are his promises really true? Did he really mean that when he said that? We cannot let go of what we know to be true. We got to go back to the word and we say, no, the Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger. He is abounding in love towards me. We remind ourselves that no, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. No, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. If you're struggling with that today, it's okay. It's okay. But the Lord is inviting you to bring that to him. He wants you to bring that to him. Talk with him about it. and find freedom and peace in your heart. He wants to show you who he really is and let you encounter how he really feels about you and break off the lies of the enemy. Fog light number four. This is a hard one for us, but it is massively important. It's crucial. Stay in praise and thanks. Now, this is prayer, but it's a specific kind of prayer that we need to engage in while we're in the fog. My dad said it so well last weekend. He said, we may feel the holiday blues, but we do not have to surrender to the blues. And one of the ways we fight is with praise and thanks. That's why when we read the Psalms, we see this practice over and over and over and over again. The psalmist did not deny the reality of their circumstance, and they did not deny and write off what they were feeling, their emotions. But even in spite of that, they chose to praise and thank God. Look at this psalm. Psalm 42, the psalmist says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? He's affirming what he is feeling. He's saying, yeah, you know what? I am downcast right now. I am disturbed. I'm not okay. And I don't even know why. Why do I feel this way? But the psalmist doesn't stop there. I love this next verse. The psalmist speaks to his own soul. He speaks to his own emotions and he says, put your hope in God. I will yet praise him, even though I don't see what I want to see in my circumstances, even though I don't feel his love right now. I will hope in God and I will yet praise him. I'm going to stir up praise and thanks in my heart, regardless of what I feel and what I'm going through right now. Church, in the fog, we've got to grab a hold of our own soul. There comes a time when we have to learn to strengthen ourselves in the Lord and speak to our own emotions and say, emotions, soul, come into alignment with the truth of God right now. When we're in the fog, I mean, maybe it's like this for you. I know it is for me. I can really become easily discouraged about my circumstances because I know I'm supposed to praise God. I know I'm supposed to thank God. But when I start looking around at my circumstances, I don't see anything to praise God for. I don't see anything to thank him for. And that is why the Word of God is such a gift. When we can't find anything to praise and thank God for in our situation and in our life, we need to turn to the Word of God. We need to look to his Word, and we will always find a reason to praise, always find a reason to thank. Psalm 103 is a perfect example. I've been using it a lot in my own life recently. Here's what it says. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not his goodness, even when I'm in the fog, especially in the fog. What does he do? Who is he? He's the Lord who forgives all my sins. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from the pit, crowns me with love and compassion, satisfies my desires with good things so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. We've got to turn to the Word of God and use it as ammunition for our praise and thanks. I mean, this psalm is a perfect example. You can just turn to this psalm and you can start thanking and praising God and saying, God, I praise you that you are the Lord who forgives all my sin. Thank you, Jesus, that because of your blood, all my past, all my rebellion, everything was wiped away. Thank you, Lord, that I no longer walk under shame, condemnation, or guilt anymore because the blood has washed me entirely clean. You've made me righteous in you, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you that you're the Lord who heals my diseases. You are the Lord who heals me, God. Thank you, Lord. You heal my hearts even of the wounds that I find in life. Thank you, Lord. I mean, Does that make sense? That's you just grab hold of the word and use it to stir up praise in your hearts. The word is the food for our prayer. It is the food for our praise and our thanks. So use that psalm. Use the word of God. Use the promises of God as food for your praise and thanks. And again, this is not to diminish what you're going through today. I want you to hear that. I don't want to diminish the fog that you're experiencing today. And the reality is that there aren't simple answers for some of the things that we experience. There aren't simple answers for the hurts that we encounter. But every single one of us, no matter what we're going through, we have a choice in the midst of the fog. We have a choice. We have a choice to speak to our own soul, grab a hold of our own heart, and tell it to come into alignment with the truth of God. We have a choice to speak to our situation, our circumstance, to stare it in the eye and declare the truth of God in its faith and start saying, Lord, I thank you that you will never leave me nor forsake me. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you will fulfill the purposes you have for my life. Thank you, Lord, that the work you started in me, you will see through to completion. Thank you, Lord, that even in this, I am more than a conqueror. Overwhelming victory is mine in Christ. Thank you, Lord, that you are my stronghold. You are my strength in times of need. You will never fail me. You never have, and you never will. You are watching over your word to perform it. I thank you, Lord, for your promises. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. I praise you, Jesus, that you hold my life. You stir up praise and thanks in your heart. You speak it out to what you're facing, and you tell your situation who your God is and what he said to you. Church, would you stand with me today? We can beat the fog. I don't know what some of you are going through in here today, but God does. He sees your situation. The word says that he's kept count of every one of our tossings. He keeps all our tears in his bottle. Every single tear you've shed, every single question you have, he sees it. He sees it today. And he wants you to know you're going to be okay. You're going to make it. My child, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. I will see you through. I just felt this weekend that God just wants to release, especially to those of you that are in the fog right now, that he wants to release fresh endurance and fresh perseverance to you in your situation. So right now, just with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you today, if you say, yeah, I really just want to quit. I need endurance and I need perseverance. If that's you today, just kind of as an act of faith, just lift your hand. I want to pray for you. As an act of faith, just say, like, yeah, Lord, I receive that fresh endurance today. I receive that fresh perseverance today. Lord, you see every single hand. You see every single heart. You see every single situation. And right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would pour out on your people a fresh measure of endurance and of perseverance. Lord, that you would give your people fresh strength to stand in the midst of whatever they're going through right now. Lord, that you would protect them. Go around them as a shield, just like you promise. Lord, give them strength in the very inside of their heart. And Lord, right now, I bind the enemy wherever he's involved in any situation, in any fog, where he's coming against your people right now, we declare that no weapon formed against your people shall stand in Jesus' name. And we bind doubt, we bind discouragement, we bind negativity, we bind depression in Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray you'd release endurance, hope, and peace, and joy, even in the midst of the fog, to your people. We pray it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Church, if you need prayer for anything, come down front. Our prayer teams will be here. They love to pray with you and for you. All right. Bless you guys. We'll see you again next weekend. Online family, wherever you joined us from, thank you again for joining us and being a part of what God is doing here at Northwoods. We are praying that God would release fresh endurance and fresh encouragement to you in your situation, whatever you're going through. That's my prayer for you. But if you need prayer, you want prayer, use the chat box. There's people there online that would love to pray with you and love to pray for you, would love to see God break through into your situation and see him encounter you with his love and with his power. So reach out if you're in the fog right now. Again, I hope we'll see you next weekend. We love you guys. Bless you.